of all thy grief and pain, and let our hearts with joy confess that thence comes all our gain. 172.
Turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. We've had some very full meetings. I wasn't able to absorb everything that was said. I hope I was able to absorb what I needed to absorb. And I pray the same for each of you. I'd like to touch on just a couple little things that stood out to me in this chapter. First is in verse 9, we have a parallel phrase, or parallel phrases, I should say. So we'll read verse 9 together. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers in our flesh, which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And there was quite a bit upset about subjection and our need to receive what God gives. And receive what God gives as from Himself. First of all, we're so prone to look at means. And so often the things that we receive, because God gives them and God's nature is different from our flesh, a lot of the things He gives are not appreciated as they should be, are not well received. But I'd like to draw your attention, and I pray that my own attention will be fastened on this as well, to these two parallel phrases. Be in subjection and live. Be in subjection and live. God is the source of our life. It's only enjoyed in subjection, in submission to Him. Back in Isaiah 55, God said to His people, "Hear, and your soul shall live." One of the biggest, if not the biggest, lessons in life is submission, subjection. Submission to God, submission to authority, submission to one another, submission in all things. Be in subjection and live. We might say that's a command with promise. Be in subjection and live. Then we get down to verse 15. We ended our meeting on this verse pretty much. Our last meeting, and I'd like to go into this verse just a little bit more. Verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, of course, the beginning of the chapter, we're directed to be looking at Jesus. But the writer of this epistle also directs our attention to be looking diligently lest. In other words, we're to be on guard. We have our sights fixed on Jesus, but we are to be on guard. It says, looking diligently lest any man fail or lack the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, I think many of us are conscious that bitterness is a real problem. We hear it in other people's speech. We know they're bitter because of the way they speak. They complain about their brethren, about their husband, about their wife, about the boss, about their circumstances. And it doesn't say we're supposed to be looking for bitterness in others. It starts in here, in our own hearts. We need to be on guard against bitterness in our own hearts, lest we should be the source of defilement for others. Bitterness is very destructive. And it's very subtle. And I think it helps to understand the source of bitterness. We spoke about that a little bit. It's in the flesh, but it's more than that. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 18. Lest there should be among you man or woman. It gets down to the singular, just like it did in our chapter. Lest there be any in any of you a root. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness. It gets very personal. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. That's bitterness. Gall and wormwood. We have gallbladders. Gall is the bitterness that comes from inside. Wormwood is an herb, something that's consumed. It comes from the outside. But there's a root that bears them both in our own hearts, and it's idolatry. Idolatry. That's what they were to be aware of. And let's turn to just briefly a verse that's very striking in Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14, verse 3, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. Bitterness is linked to idolatry, to a secret idol in the heart. It may be our reputation, it may be our feelings, it may be what we think we deserve, it may be what we consider to be our rights, it may be our family, it may be our self-image. I'm reminded of a brother I love dearly who's gone astray. And one thing that stood out in my mind, and as I think back over the years, is he liked to say, I'm offended. We do take offense. We don't have to take offense. We're responsible for how we receive as well as how we give. And offense is a choice. Taking offense is a deliberate choice. And bitterness is a choice. You know, you think of Job. You might have said to Job, Job, you're bitter. And he says, I can't help it. Now, I don't know that he ever said that. But he might well have said it. And we might well understand why he would say it. But brethren, bitterness is a choice. That's why it says here in this chapter that we should look diligently in looking in ourselves lest this should happen, because it is a choice. It's a matter of responsibility. Bitterness is a choice. You hear bitterness in the voice of a brother or sister. You hear bitterness in your own voice, and you know you've made a wrong choice. Bitterness is a choice. And grace is a choice. But before we talk about the subject of grace, I want to show you the consequences. Let's read this chapter again and then go jump ahead 600 years. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18 again. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Here is a supposed case, shall we say. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 8. We're going ahead 600 years. And we find the result, the children of Israel didn't heed this warning. And verse 14, why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense city and let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us the water of gall to drink. Chapter 9, verse 15. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them even this day, this people, with wormwood, and will give them water of gall to drink. If we choose to harbor, to cultivate this root of bitterness, we're going to get more. We're going to get more. Dear brother or sister, if you know you have in your heart some bitterness, get rid of it. You're only asking for more by cultivating it. Now let's turn to the alternative. Back in Hebrews 12, verse 15, looking diligently. Let's not be casual about this. Let's be diligent. Looking diligently, lest any man fail or lack the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. Sister called me a couple of years ago, or maybe less than that. Vale. Problem, and she didn't call me about it necessarily, but we got talking about a problem that I was aware of in her assembly. And I suggested that she consult a brother who I knew visited there occasionally, a brother whom I respected. And she says, oh, he's a hypocrite. He's not here today. And that sister's not here today either. She got discouraged and left because there was bitterness in her own heart. That brother, yes, I didn't argue with her. That brother is a hypocrite, just like you and me. A brother I highly regard, whom the Lord uses. But I'm not going to deny that if you're going to call him a hypocrite, I'll accept that title too. We all are in a measure hypocrites. But this sister was occupied with that brother and her problems instead of turning to the Lord. Thereby many be defiled. Her whole family's gone, too. Thereby many be defiled. What's the alternative? Well, it's a matter of lacking grace. So, let's turn to the end of this chapter, verse 28. And ahead of this chapter, we're told of all the blessing that we've been brought into. Ahead of these verses, the latter part of the chapter that we didn't discuss describes wonderful things. Verse 28 says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. We get so occupied with circumstances, with offenses, things that bother us that are going to pass. It says here, whereby we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. We can have as much grace as we want. We can have all the grace we need. You say, we've already received grace. Yes, we have abundantly. But this is the practical side. This is the practical part of the epistle. Let's make it grace in our own hearts. Not just grace in our standing. Yes, we're accepted in the beloved. Let's enjoy that. That's a choice too. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I just want to close on these two things that characterize grace. Reverence and godly fear. Reverence is acknowledging who God is and His authority and His right to order things. And godly fear is acknowledging His power and His ways, and accepting those two. That we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, acknowledging who He is, that He is Lord. And He has a right to order our lives. And He has power for all things, and His ways are wonderful.